Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Building Better Blocks to Healthier Life Show with Penny McElroy. Daily episodes packed full of informational wellness nuggets. Because your healthier life is closer than you think.
Welcome to the show. My name is Jennifer Navarrete, and during the month of November, we are learning all about the building blocks to good health from certified integrative nutrition coach Penny McElroy. On today's show, we'll be recapping a week's worth of sleep topics all in one setting. Now, on Sunday of last week, you started off with learning why sleep is important to our health. So, Penny, why is it important to our health?
Well, without sleep, our health is going to suffer. There's no doubt about that. All kinds of things can happen to us. One of the major things is that our body basically just shuts down. We have to keep in a sleep routine in order to prevent that from happening. Things like blurry vision, depression. Depression can cause lack of sleep, but it's kind of like what comes first, the chicken or the egg. Dizziness, weight loss, weight gain. If it's severe, it could be hallucinations, and it can actually contribute to heart disease, hypertension, irritability, memory loss, nausea, tremors, trouble speaking. I think one of the most dangerous things is that there's a lot of traffic accidents that are caused every year from lack of sleep. I know in my case, what happens is that you can almost feel your brain waves shutting down. And your eyes are open, but your mind is not there. And lack of sleep can do that to you. It's very dangerous.
You know, on the next thing that we learned was that the quality of sleep is just as important as the quantity of sleep, because it really does make a difference on not only the time, amount of time that you sleep, but also just how deeply and just how well you sleep.
Yes, exactly. There's five stages of sleep, and the body does something as far as restorative healing during those five stages, and every one of the stages has a job that it's supposed to do. So when you miss any of those stages, then your quality of sleep is suffering. If you want to, the actual restoration occurs in phase 2, 3, 4, and then REM sleep. Stage one is just that twilight sleep, just when you're feeling like you're going to doze off. You're not really asleep, but you're not really awake. And they haven't found any medicinal reasons for that other than the fact that it helps you to relax. But every one of those stages, there's a certain part of the body that is being restored while you sleep.
And the next thing we learned, which I really, I think this was the piece that I kind of found the most fascinating, was in reference to beauty sleep and body rejuvenation, that it happens during different stages of sleep. And so this was new. I understood that you needed to have good sleep, but I didn't really know that there were certain times that different parts of sleep affected different parts of your body.
Yeah, things like the deep restorative sleep. The best time to experience that is between 10 and 1 o'clock, 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. Those of us that are night owls, we miss that chance. And that's not something that's made up either. Some sleep doesn't make any difference what time you do it, as long as you get into that stage. But that one restorative sleep that has to do with the skin and feeling good, that works best if you are asleep between 10 and 1 o'clock.
And then one of the other things we learned about was that when it comes to sleep, one of the best things you can do is to revert back to childhood.
Routine. It's very important to have a scheduled routine, and that's what we did in our childhood. If we can remember our mother's voices, bedtime, that will help. But the body likes that routine, and when you stay within the routine, then the body just automatically does what it's supposed to do. But when you get out of it, sometimes that's when we're going to have problems sleeping. There's other reasons why we might have problems. Depression, we've already talked about that, might keep us awake. Life events, our mind not wanting to shut down, all those things contribute to our lack of, our inability to sleep. And those that have suffered from insomnia, you know, for years. But there's techniques that you can use, and routine is critical. Just like the night that we talked about, the year-long sleep study that I did. That sleep study, what I got out of that whole year was that it was important to have a routine, going to bed at the right time, at the same time every time, trying to get up at the same time. You can't make up lost sleep, and most people feel like that you can. They're under that misconception. They think, well, I can sleep for, you know, 4 hours for five nights, and then on the sixth night on the weekend, then I can sleep in and sleep 10 hours and or 12 hours and make it up. And it just doesn't work that way.
You know, it's a shame that it doesn't, because I've always been someone who thought that I could make up sleep. You know, I'm working on a project that's really important, and it's okay if I either work all night long in order to make sure that the project is done in time and then go, you know, do the presentation and then come home and, you know, nap really, really well and then get a good night's sleep. But you're saying that, and actually studies have shown that that doesn't actually work. You didn't actually make up that sleep. That sleep deficit still had its impact on your body and on your brain. And all you're doing now is just trying to kind of prepare yourself for the next stage. But that catching up thing, it doesn't actually exist. It's just a trick that we play with ourselves.
It is a trick. And I've seen so many young people, especially that are in college. Yeah, they'll stay, one young man in particular, you know, talking about how he had to stay up all night and study for this test. And in reality, he would have done better on the test if he had just gone to bed, gone to sleep and got rested and his mind was alert. And then he could remember the things that he needed that he had already learned. But we're all under the misconception, or not all of us, but so many of us are under the misconception that we can do those things. We can stay up all night. And what we're doing is, it's kind of like cigarette smoking. Every one that you smoke cuts off 10 or 20 minutes of your, well, sleep deprivation does the same thing. And you cannot make it up. It's lost forever.
Well, and not only that, but when you don't have really good sleep, I know that there's usually kind of like the grouch factor, or the, you know, where you're just not in your best frame of mind, and your mood definitely reflects the lack of sleep.
It's easy to tell. You know, we remember when our toddlers were little, and we knew that if they didn't take their nap, they were going to be grumpy and hard to live with, and everything was going to be more difficult. You know, adults are no different. Just because we've gotten older, and our grumpiness may come out in different ways, but it's the same thing. We get grumpy, we get frustrated, irritable. All those things are happening, and it's happening because of sleep deprivation.
You know, I've always thought that we should bring, as a humanity in general, should probably have something like the siesta just be part of life. You know, after lunch, take a time out from the day, let your body kind of, you know, rest and kind of rejuvenate itself, and then start over. And I know that there are fewer and fewer countries practicing this kind of siesta type of work day, but there, I don't know, it just seems to make a lot of sense to me that you may work, you may wind up not leaving work at 5, maybe you wind up, you know, going back to work at 2 and then staying until, you know, 6 or 7, but I think you probably are going to be better rested and more, you know, rejuvenated, and probably have a better work experience because you're not pushing yourself and pushing yourself and pushing yourself through that exhaustion and burning yourself out. Now, this has just always been my opinion. I just think that if I ever owned a company, I would have those types of things where people could take power naps and, or, and it would be a shift because obviously, but maybe somebody does an early lunch. So from 11 to 1, that's their quote unquote siesta time. And then some, maybe for some people it's from, you know, 12 to 2, and for others maybe it's from 1 to 3, or maybe they want to come in early and leave early. I've always just thought flexible hours just seem to make sense because you have folks who are early risers and folks who are late risers, and why not, why make everybody fit into the, you know, all the different shaped pegs fit into just one hole, one shaped hole, you know, let everybody kind of fit where they belong, and you could probably still get the job done. Once again, just my opinion.
Yeah, unfortunately, some businesses can't be run like that, but that would be an ideal situation. I know in Europe, they do take 2-hour lunch breaks. They take lots of holidays, too. I mean, when we were over there, we never did know when the stores were going to be open because who knew? They might be on a lunch break or they might be on a holiday. It's a more laid-back, relaxed atmosphere. And that helps. That is very helpful when trying to sleep because you're not overstressed. America is kind of a unique country. We work a lot of hours that some of the other countries don't. And it shows. It shows in our health.
Mm. Well, so that kind of wraps up a week of sleep. And so what we learned here was that sleep is important to our health because it's part of the cycle that makes our body work. It gives our body a chance to kind of replenish itself from the constant go, go, go that we're doing, that the quality of sleep makes a difference, that you want to have good, deep, restful sleep, that there are different stages of sleep. There's beauty sleep, body rejuvenation sleep, the REM sleep, and each of those phases of sleep is an important piece. And if you're missing some of it, then your body is always going to be missing that step. And then you gave some helpful tips for training your brain and your body for sleep, which was kind of wind down for 30 minutes before, have a cool room, have a dark room, those types of things. And also when it comes to sleep, it's time to revert back to childhood. I think we should all take naps, so I'm thumbs up for that. And then you talked about the sleep study that you did and just really how keeping track helped you stay accountable. So that wraps up our week on sleep. But Penny, next week, it kind of ties even more into this whole topic of building blocks for good health. We're going to talk about the importance of the fuel that you put in your body and also hydration. That's right, H2O. We're talking about water. Do you want to tease anything before we kick off the show starting tomorrow?
Yeah, probably the best thing to talk about with that is our diet. Yeah, every aspect of our health reverts back to what we put into our body. And that is, like you say, the fuel, which is the food, and keeping hydrated. All of those are key components to our overall health IQ. And when you become aware of these things, that's what health IQ is all about, is becoming aware that everything that we do does affect our bodies. And we have control over our bodies and the quality of life that we have.
Perfect, folks. Well, you heard it here. Stay tuned tomorrow. We're talking about food and water, and you won't want to miss that.
To receive more healthy building block tips, simply go to yourwellnessplan.com.